Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Heretic, Joker, Folie à Deux, and Made in England, the films of Powell and Pressburger.
Well, I've got three different kinds of movies to talk about today, but the first two are more or less horror movies, so there's a little bit of consistency here. And I'd like to start off talking about Heretic, which is a new movie by the team of Scott Beck and Brian Woods. And they are a directorial team, and they've worked together a number of times co-directing films. And Heretic is, I think, a very interesting movie about half of it. And the other half, I think, is pretty awful. So, my gosh, I'm sort of divided down the middle on this. Anyway, here's what Heretic is about. A couple of young women, they're around 19, 20 years old. That's established in the screenplay. They are missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are Mormons. And they have gotten word from their supervisor that they're supposed to go to this particular house because the guy who lives there has filled out a form saying he would like to know more about Mormonism. And of course, they're all ready to do that. So, yes, they go up to this fairly ominous looking house and they knock on the door. And who answers the door but the guy who lives there, who is played by Hugh Grant. And his name is Mr. Reed. And he invites them in, and he's very nice. And they say, well, actually, we're not allowed to come in unless your wife is here as well. Oh, yes, yes, she's just in the other room. She's making a blueberry pie, and can't you smell the lovely blueberry pie? And okay, okay, we'll sit here for a while, and they start to talk to him. So the first half of this movie, approximately, is the part that I liked a lot, because he starts asking them for information about Mormonism and the Mormon Church and what they do and what they believe. And he already seems to know quite a lot about it. And he argues with them and he debates with them and he disputes with them. And he seems to be pretty alert, pretty sharp. And they seem to be reasonably sharp. They're very young women. They haven't done this kind of thing too often, certainly not the debate part of it. But yes, they talk to him and it's just really interesting, I think. At one point, he starts to bring out board games and he brings out a big box with a great Monopoly game in it. And then he goes through a whole thing where he brings out another game which was created earlier on which Monopoly was based. And he talks about iterations and how sometimes the new version gets all the publicity, but the old version that really created things gets forgotten about it, and the principles involved get obscured. Things like that. It's kind of interesting. It's not deep. It's not great theology or philosophy, but it's interesting stuff. And again, they do their best to hold their own against him. And sometimes they have little arguments, which they're able to make back and seem to stump him for at least a moment. And it's just interesting. It's very dialogue driven and it's fairly literate. And yeah, we get to hear this debate between this older guy. He is not a young guy, and these two young women. And then meanwhile, where is his wife? Well, it turns out that that smell of the delicious blueberry pie cooking in the kitchen, it's actually a blueberry scented candle, which is there in the room. And we never do see that wife. So maybe something sinister is going on here. And then sure enough, the movie starts for me to go downhill when there are two doors that they have to go through to get out of the house, and they have to choose which door to go through, and neither door seems like a very welcoming prospect. Why don't they go out the front door? Well, he says it's locked, and the lock is on a timer. It won't open until tomorrow. That seems a bit bizarre. Anyway, before you know it, the two young women are down in a dank, horrible, filthy, rotten basement, and they can't find their way out, and if they didn't have their cell phones, at least they can get a little bit of light. But things start to go just in very morbid and creepy and horror movie directions. So a lot of people will have the exact opposite response from my response. A lot of people will find the first part just a bunch of talk and why is it taking so long in the buildup and how long are we going to have to wait before the other shoe really drops? And then when they finally get down in the dank, horrible basement and people start hiding and chasing and menacing, then, oh, this is turning into a real horror movie. Now, For me, it was the other way around. I think that the part in the basement and all the stuff that follows after that is really overcooked. My gosh, there's a woman who appears to die and then be resurrected, and that to Mr. Reed is proof that miracles can really happen. The girls, though, seem to figure out that this is just a magic trick. And there are things like that, and I just found the movie kind of got out of control. And then near the end, it picks up a tiny bit again. Anyway, Heretic, I would say personally, see the first half and don't worry much about the second half. A lot of people feel it's just the opposite. In the meanwhile, I was happy to see a horror movie which is at least half intelligent, literate, and dialogue-driven, at least to some extent. So I would say, you know, for me, it gets sort of a midway rating. Interesting movie, doesn't quite work all the way. Okay, now our next horrific movie, Joker Folie à Deux, directed by Todd Phillips, who directed the original film Joker just a few years ago. Okay, when I first saw Joker, the first of these films, I didn't much like it. First of all, it seemed kind of a ripoff of Martin Scorsese's very, very great movie, Taxi Driver. Secondly, it took a very dim, dismal, horrific view of New York City. And I lived in New York for many, many years. And I have a lot of loyalty to that city. I didn't much like that aspect of it. On the other hand, I did have to admit that Joaquin Phoenix gave a sensational performance. And there are a lot of interesting things in the movie. Well, when I saw Joker, the first movie, Joker, again, I liked it a lot more. I just found it really interesting, and I had gotten over my aversion to the sort of nightmarish portrait of New York. I was ready for it and made allowances for it. And my gosh, Joaquin Phoenix's performance really was impressive the second time around, and I really got to like the movie a whole lot more. So what would I think of the sequel, Joker Folie à Deux? Of course, that title, the subtitle, means a madness of two people, a madness shared by a couple of people. With the reviews this movie has been getting and with the box office that it's been getting, a lot of people are going to feel it was a folly of all the filmmakers involved. In any case, that's what it means. And apparently the deux, the two with the madness, are the two main characters of the movie, who are, of course, the Joker himself, Arthur Fleck, his name is, played by Joaquin Phoenix, and his girlfriend in the movie, who his name is Lee Quinzel and is played by Lady Gaga. So, here's how Joker Folie à Deux unfolds. Here's a little bit, anyway. Yes, Arthur Fleck, the guy who calls himself Joker, and he is really, really a pretty crazy character. At the end of the first Joker movie, we may remember, he actually murdered a talk show host, played by Robert De Niro, on live television. Well, he is now locked up in a mental institution, the Arkham State Hospital. I have to pause here and say that Arkham is a name out of my youth, because the great horror writer H.P. Lovecraft used that name in a number of his stories. So this is very much an homage to the old tradition of horror tales. Anyway, Arthur Fleck, Joker, is confined in the Arkham State Hospital, a mental institution. And as in the first movie, he alternates between being a very unhappy, alienated young person with nothing going for him in his entire life and putting on makeup and becoming the Joker, a wild and crazy and extroverted and destructive person. So there he is. Now at least his destructive impulses are being held in check because he is in an institution. But there to see him, because she has conceived an affection for him, is Lee Quinzel, played by Lady Gaga. And eventually the two of them, yes, they get together. She's also in the institution, although it turns out she's there voluntarily, which Arthur Fleck is not. Eventually, Arthur Fleck goes on trial for his crimes. And this movie is to some pretty large extent a courtroom drama. A lot of stuff that takes place in that courthouse as we see him on trial. And somehow Lee gets permission to be at the trial as somebody attending it. Another important character is a prison guard or mental institution guard named Jackie Sullivan, who is played by the great, great actor Brendan Gleeson. Oh, Catherine Keener is in the movie as well. It has an interesting cast. And yes, it plugs into the whole sort of DC thing. We have Harvey Dent, who is familiar from some other DC movies and stuff, is one of the minor characters, and so forth and so on. So, as I mentioned before, Joker Folie à Deux has been getting wretched reviews, and the box office has been just as wretched. People don't want to see this movie. So I went to it with a fairly open mind, and I actually like it. One of the most controversial things about Joker Folie à Deux is that it's a musical. Every once in a while, Arthur Fleck or Lee Quinzel will just start singing. And it's the kind of singing that you see in certain eccentric movies over the years. I think of Woody Allen's movie, Everyone Says I Love You, Peter Bogdanovich's movie, Long Last Love, where it's not like an old-fashioned Hollywood musical. People just start singing as if that's something we all did in our daily lives, and then music starts playing, and we have a song. And Joker Folie à Deux is a jukebox musical, which means the songs are not original. They come from the past. We recognize a lot of them, and that's sort of fun. And I thought that was interesting, experimental, strange. And that's something the movies don't have enough of, especially the DC comic book movies. They are just too rooted in formulas. Well, here is a movie that throws so many formulas out of the window. It does it in its use of music. It does it in various storylines. And I just thought it was an interesting movie that takes you by surprise and goes to places that you never would have expected it to go. So, do I expect that many moviegoers are going to start going to see it now? I do not. It is an eccentric movie, a strange movie, a movie that does not work on all levels. But it's a marvelously performed movie. Joaquin Phoenix is once again sensational. I think Lady Gaga is a really good actor, and she does an interesting job with Lee Quinzel. And it's interestingly directed by Todd Phillips, again, his second Joker movie. I think it's a movie that throws away the formulas, and I think we need more of that in the movies. So I say Joker Folie à Deux is a fascinating film. Give it a shot. You just might be surprised. So now we will really turn a corner, because I want to talk about a documentary. But it's a documentary with a lot of regular movie stuff in it. Made in England, the films of Powell and Pressburger. I mentioned Martin Scorsese earlier. Marty Scorsese narrates this film because it is about the very, very great English filmmakers. Well, Emmerich Pressburger did not come from England, but he emigrated there. And Michael Powell was very English. Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger were a team, another directorial team. They made many, many movies together, and they made some movies individually, and they made some of the greatest movies ever to come out of the English movie industry. I'll just mention a couple of titles. Maybe their most famous movie is The Red Shoes, which is a movie about ballet dancing, and it is magnificent, a superb romance. Black Narcissus, which is a tale of exotic people living in an exotic place. Stairway to Heaven, which was originally titled A Matter of Life and Death, where the movie star David Niven plays a guy who is killed and goes to heaven, but they're not ready to receive him, and the whole movie, he's on trial. Will he end up in heaven, or will he get to go back to earth and pursue his love? Many, many other movies. Very, very great British movies. If nothing else, people should check out films made by the great team of Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger. They were a sensational team, and they did a lot of magnificent work together. So, Made in England is Martin Scorsese's view in his narration of their career and of their what they meant to him in his career. Movie was not directed by Scorsese, it was directed by David Hinton, but it really seems to be channeling Martin Scorsese's views all the way through. Now, one of the interesting things about this is that what Powell and Pressburger were best known for as a team of filmmakers is movies that are just sort of beautiful and gorgeous and full of fairy tale-like elements and a kind of a mysticism. And Martin Scorsese, of course, is known for making gritty, earthbound films, often about gangsters and gangs and just all kinds of really unpleasant things in our very own world. So why did Martin Scorsese love the fairy tale make-believe films of Powell and Pressburger so much? Well, he explains that over the course of the movie, and that's one of the fascinations of this film. So first of all, again, I totally recommend the great films by Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger, and so by watching Made in England, you can see a whole lot of clips from those movies, and you can make up your own mind as to whether you want to maybe investigate their filmography more deeply. Also, you get Martin Scorsese's argument as to why he considered them such great, great filmmakers. And in fact, late in his own career, Martin Scorsese hired Michael Powell to be a consultant on his movie Raging Bull, and then kept him as a consultant on many subsequent projects. So they were really partners in a sort of a way. That's how much Martin Scorsese respected the films of Michael Powell. Now, Powell's career, Emmerich Pressburger just sort of, the team broke up eventually, and Pressburger didn't really have much of a solo career after that. Michael Powell looked like he might be developing a real solo career, and this is covered in the movie. In 1960, the same year that Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho came out, he made a movie called Peeping Tom, which is about a movie fanatic who murders women while filming them. And this film is a pretty ordinary thriller-type premise, but this movie just was dismally received in England. Everyone thought it was a betrayal by this wonderful director, and it pretty much ended his career. So years later, Martin Scorsese hired Michael Powell as a consultant, and they worked together for a while. And again, this movie, made in England, the films of Powell and Pressburger, is Martin Scorsese's heartfelt tribute to the movies of Powell and Pressburger, filled with jillions of clips from so many of their movies. It's a wonderful trip down memory lane for me. It will be a wonderful introduction to a terrific filmmaking team for others. I really recommend Made in England, the films of Powell and Pressburger. So that is my story this week, ending on a very positive note.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Heretic, Joker, Folie à Dieu, Made in England, the films of Powell and Pressburger.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.